It's so good to see everyone this Lord's Day morning. We are going to start this morning in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We're so grateful to have everyone here today. And there may be those who are visiting with us who are not yet Christians, not yet children of God, or perhaps you don't know if you are or not. I hope that I especially have your attention as we study together. Hope you'll have your Bible out and you'll follow along. Pay careful attention to and take seriously the things that we have to say about today being the day for your salvation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.'" These verses come following chapter 5 in which Paul was giving a defense of his ministry, that he and the other apostles were involved in God's ministry of reconciliation, reconciling the world back unto himself, the world that left him with sin, left him through sin, left him because of sin. Jesus Christ has died. The apostles have been sent with the gospel. And it's through this important work that God is calling the world back to himself. Now that's the work that Paul did among them. That's the work that he's busy doing everywhere that he can. But he says here at the beginning of chapter 6, there's some urgency in this work. There's some urgency in your response to it. The importance of this is not something that is yet to come. It's now. It is today. As we look at the New Testament, as the New Testament unfolds before us, we see a common theme. There is urgency that is stressed with the preaching of the gospel. There's urgency that is stressed in obeying the Lord and choosing to follow Jesus. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus calls Peter and Andrew and James and John from their nets as they're fishing to follow him, the word that is used is immediately. Immediately they left everything that they knew. They left their livelihood, left their father's work to follow Jesus. Now, this wasn't the first time they met Jesus. John chapter 1 makes that clear. But Jesus here is beginning his work of training them to be his apostles. He says, "Come, I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately, they follow. One of these men, Peter, in Acts chapter 2, when the gospel is being preached for the first time, he preaches and the hearts of these Jews who are present, they are pricked. And they ask, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter tells them to repent. "And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In verse 40, "With many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." That day. They didn't break it down in the teams of 1,000 every day. They didn't break it down. They didn't say, "Come back and we'll take care of this later." They did it then. They did it that day. In Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas preached the gospel to the Philippian jailer in his household, it says, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized." They didn't put it off. They didn't put it off till next week. They didn't put it off till the next morning. They did it that hour of the night. Immediately. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, when Ananias is sent by the Lord to come to Saul and to speak the word of God unto him, he says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." This theme is seen over and over again. Obey the Lord, follow the Lord, be saved of your sins, and do it now. Why the urgency? Why is today the day of salvation? I want to take a look at that for a few moments this morning. Some reasons why today is the day you need to become a Christian if you haven't done so. The reason why today is the day that you, weak Christian or erring Christian, need to get your act together and need to commit your heart totally to the Lord. Why is today that day? Well, first is because this day of salvation, it is a great salvation. What is being offered to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ is not something that we can get just any old time from any old place. It is the greatest gift that will ever be offered to you or me. In the book of Hebrews at chapter 2, let's read together Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to His own will. The writer of the book of Hebrews in verse 3 says that this is a great salvation. What makes it great? What makes it great is that it is offered through God's love. The best known verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The scheme of redemption begins as early as Genesis chapter 3. And everything we read of in the Bible is bringing Christ to the earth and bringing Him to the cross to die for your sins and for mine. And all of it is done not because God feels obligated, but because God feels love for you and for me. That's what makes it great. It's the greatest expression of love that this universe will ever know. What makes it great is that it cost God the death of His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Something is usually valued, that we place a value according to, attach a value to something based on how much was spent on it or how much it's worth. Your salvation and mine that God offers to us cost God the death of His only begotten Son. There's no greater price that will ever be paid for you or for me for anything. It's great because of the price that was paid. It's great because it was delivered by one who was greater than the angels. That's putting this passage in its context. Chapter 1 talking about how Christ is greater than the angels. Well, the law of Moses came through the angels. The gospel of Jesus Christ came through one who was greater than angels, came through Jesus Christ, and it was confirmed to mankind through miracles that the apostles saw, that others saw. It has been confirmed. It is a great salvation. Now, coming back to this text, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard in this time, that is, the preaching of the gospel. Verse 2 says, if the word spoken through angels, that's the law of Moses, if that word proved steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If God was faithful in punishing the sins that were committed under a lesser covenant, under the law of Moses, how are we going to fare if we knowingly spurn the great invitation of our Lord? To go on into eternity ignorant of the gospel is one thing. That's tragic enough. But to go into eternity knowingly rejecting and ignoring the gospel call is another level of tragedy altogether. It is a great salvation. Let us not neglect it. Today is the day to obey it. Secondly, why is today the day of salvation? Because you and I know that we're not promised tomorrow. And we don't need the Bible to tell us that. We have a reminder of that, it seems, almost every day. We turn on the news, we log on the internet, we open up the newspaper and we can read that some have passed away. Every day in the obituaries, there's the list of people who have recently passed away. And some of them, perhaps many of them, have died in their old age. They've lived long lives and have died of old age. But every day we read the names. We hear the names of those who are struck down in the prime of life. Death comes to all. It's no respecter of persons. Death comes to all of us. And when death comes, we will be ushered into eternity, whether we're prepared for it or not. That's not going to matter. When death comes, eternity will begin for us. Look in Luke chapter 16. I want to read about the rich man and Lazarus. And I want to focus especially on something that is said in verse 25, but I want to read the entire passage. Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Now we could spend a lot of time studying this passage and drawing truths from this passage, and we need to. But there are some things I want us to consider very briefly as we're looking at this topic of today being the day of salvation. This passage teaches us very plainly that our fate is sealed at death. When we die, we're going to go to one or two places and there's no way we're escaping. There's no way out. So when death comes, our fate is sealed. I want you to notice also, verse 25, Abraham speaks to the rich man and makes it clear that it was during his lifetime that he should have been thinking about where he was going to spend eternity. It was too late then. Remember, in your lifetime, you neglected to help the poor. You neglected the law of God. It's right now, it's today that you and I are to be securing the eternal resting place for our soul. And notice also, whenever this man finds that he can't leave, his thoughts go immediately to his loved ones and say, well, send Lazarus there. Warn them so that they won't come here. He says, no, they've got Moses. They've got the prophets to listen to. They've got God's word. They've got the message that God has sent through Moses and the prophets. That's all the warning that they're going to get. And that's all the warning that is needed. And if they won't heed that, they won't escape. You and I have everything that we need to prepare ourselves for this day. We dare not neglect it. We dare not neglect it. James chapter 4 reminds us that our life is just a vapor. It is a very fragile thing. And it can end at any time. James 4, verse 13, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." There's nothing wrong with you and I making plans for the future. We're getting pretty close to that time of the year that comes around every year that we make resolutions. We think about the year that lies ahead, and we look at it with hope. We look at it as perspective and things that we hope to accomplish and that we want to do. There's nothing wrong with planning for the future. But we dare not do so neglecting our soul and the reality that we may not have that future. What are we going to do with that truth? What are we going to do with that reality? Verse 17, "Therefore to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." If you know you need to obey the gospel and you're just putting it off because you think you've got all the time in the world, that's a sin you're committing against your soul. Not only is there the prospect of death, but there's also the reality of our Lord coming again. In the book of 1 Thessalonians at chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 says, "The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night." We don't know when He's going to return, but there'll come a day in which the trumpet will sound and the sky will be ripped open and you'll see your Lord and that'll be it. There won't be calling up the preacher. There won't be any coming to the building and knocking on the door and begging to get baptized and get right because he's here. No, it's too late then. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 7, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." Now here's what's going to happen on that day. When the Lord is revealed, He and His angels revealed from heaven. Verse 8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." What's that day going to be like for you if you've not become a Christian? If you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? You might be a good person and you might have a good heart and your life might be filled with a lot of responsibilities that you're taking care of as you should. But you've neglected to take care of your soul. You've not obeyed the gospel. What's that day going to be like for you? Vengeance and fire. It's not going to matter your intentions. It's not going to matter your schedule. It's not going to matter how busy you were. That's why today is the day of salvation. Because if that day comes, it'll be too late. It'll be too late. We need to think about that. Today is the day you need to become a Christian. Why do you need to do it today? You need to do it today to give hope to your loved ones. To give hope to those who care about you and love you the most. Go back just one page perhaps in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 at verse 13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." That's who the sleeping are. Those who are described as being asleep, they're dead. They've died, but they've died in the Lord. And notice, they're going to rise first. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." This letter was written to a very young church, made up of young Christians. They hadn't been Christians very long. But apparently enough time had passed that some of them had passed away. Some of them had died, and they were concerned about that because the Lord hadn't returned yet, and they're dead, and they're gone, and they're going to miss everything. And Paul says, no, they're not going to miss anything
Matter of fact, they're going to be the first ones who are going to rise up to meet the Lord, and then we will join them. But notice how this section began. In verse 13, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, those who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Who are the ones that have no hope? The ones that have no hope, the ones that we have no hope for, are those who have died outside of Christ. I've attended a lot of funerals. I imagine you have as well. Some have been harder than others. The hardest ones for me have been the ones that I've attended where I know what this book says, and I know what that individual believed and did, and based on that, I have no hope for them. I can wish, I can pray, but I have no reasonable hope for their eternal salvation. Sometimes that's the only thing that can give comfort during a time like that. Even those who aren't religious at all, when their loved ones die, they're heard to say things like, well, at least they're in a better place. At least they've gone to a better place. See, they're not even religious, but they're clinging to that to get them through that time. If you're here and you're not a Christian and you never intend to become one, what are people going to be saying and thinking when they're gathered around your casket at your funeral? You're not going to be giving them any hope. What you're going to be giving them is a nightmare. Because not only have they lost you, but they know that you've lost your soul. How can you do that to the people that love you the most? How can you stand still as invitation song after invitation song is sung and do that to the people who love you the most? Why is today the day of salvation? To give the people that love you the most some hope for when you're gone. Because that day will come. Why is today the day of salvation? Because we need to redeem the time. In the book of Ephesians, at chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. What does it mean to redeem? To redeem something means to buy it back, to get it back. And we know that doesn't really work with time, does it? We don't have time travel. We can't go back and relive those years that have passed. Now, we can't redeem it in that sense. What's meant here is that we must, as Christians, we must live with a purposeful determination to make the most of this moment onward. We've wasted enough time outside of Christ. Look at what look at what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has, notice this, ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. You see, there's a change. When you become a Christian, it changes your life. It should. It changes the direction that you're going in your life. You're no longer living for yourself, no longer living for the world, no longer pursuing sin, but now you're living for the one who gave his life for you. Verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. You've changed your life. You're no longer doing this thing. That's strange, but there's a reason why. I'm a Christian now. I'm a Christian now and I can't live that way any longer. Did you notice verse 3? Do you notice verse 3? For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. Why is the day today the day of salvation? Because you've already wasted enough of your life serving yourself. You've already wasted enough of your life serving someone other than God. That's more than enough time. And I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 18 or you're 80. It doesn't matter. You've already wasted enough of your life doing your own thing. Why is today the day of salvation? Because you know you owe your very life to God. Start living it for Him now. Do it now. You need to make your life count, and you need to start now, today. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1 says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." Give your entire life to God, not the leftovers. And there's nothing wrong with a person learning the truth and obeying the truth later on in life. But to purposely put off becoming a Christian so you can do what you want to do until the very end and give God the leftovers, you think God's going to be pleased with that? Do it now. Live your life for God now. Establish those habits now. Create a legacy in your life now that's going to live on in the future and have a positive impact for good in the future. When we lived in Texas, in Edna, Texas, we met a lot of good people down there. There was one couple down there that had four grown children who had grandchildren and no doubt had great-grandchildren, or at least they're coming on now. And the husband of this couple was a very kind man. He's as country could be, laid back and kind as could be. But as I got to know him, talking with him, he related a regret to me. Early in life, he was busy working the oil fields, and his wife was bringing the children to church. He didn't have any interest in that. It wasn't until much later, after the children had grown, that he became a Christian. And he served the Lord with as much zeal as he had. But of his four children, there are only two who were faithful to the Lord. And only one who was really serious about it. None of his grandchildren. And that wore on him. You could tell. You could tell as you got to know him. That was something that he carried with him. That regret. Live your life in such a way that you have no regrets. Obey the gospel now. Make the good decisions now. Today's the day that you give your life to the Lord. And there'll be no regrets. And one final reason that I can think of why today is the day of salvation is so you can start enjoying the blessings that are found in Christ. The blessings that are available to the Christian, to the child of God. And we could spend a lot of time going through the New Testament, looking at various passages and looking at these blessings. I want to focus on Philippians chapter 4. And look at a few of these from Philippians chapter 4. The blessings that are found only in Christ. You need these in your life. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 is the blessing of prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is a privilege, it's a blessing, that if you read and study your Bible, you see it's a privilege, it's a blessing that's been given to the Christian. God hears every prayer that is offered, but God has not obligated Himself to answer the prayers of those who are outside His Son the way He has obligated Himself to hear and answer the prayers of those who are in His Son. And that prayer is a great blessing. It gives us peace, verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace that we can have, knowing that we are right with God, knowing that if our life was to come to an end, we're okay. Now that's peace. That's peace, but it's only found in Christ. This peace doesn't mean that our life miraculously clears up and becomes easy. There was early on when I started preaching, there was a young lady who fell away almost as quickly as her hair dried from the baptistry, because she had the idea that becoming a Christian was going to make everything perfect in her life. No, that's not the case. We still have struggles. We still have sorrows. But we know where we can take those. We have a place to take those in Christ. Chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe you've heard this verse before. We like this can-do attitude. I can do it. Well, it's taught here in the Scriptures. But notice, it's through Christ. It's not outside of Christ. It's in Christ. It's through Christ that we can handle whatever it is that comes. And verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Everything that we need, the Christian has in Christ. It might not be everything that we want. You take a look at who's assembled here today. The segment of our community that is here today is not the wealthiest. And perhaps right there is where I need to stop with the insults. But you do get the point. It's not those that society holds up as being the very best, the wealthiest, the most highly achieved, the most decorated, the most celebrated. But we have everything we need, don't we? We have everything that we need in Christ because God takes care of us. God takes care of us, and He wants to take care of you. But He can't do that if you're outside of Christ. You need to come unto Him. Why would you live another day outside of Christ? Today is the day of salvation. The Bible tells us that salvation can be ours. The Apostle Paul and the other apostles were sent into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. And they were faithful in doing that. And the gospel has been recorded for us. We can know what we have to do in order to make today the day of our salvation. God's taken care of His part. And He's told you what you need to do. You need to believe that Jesus is His Son. You need to repent of your sins. We talked about that change in your life. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess that faith. And you need to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you know that you need to obey the gospel, you now have reason to do so. Please don't put it off any longer. Please don't toy with God's mercy. And please don't wait for a more convenient time, because the devil will make sure that you never have it. If you're allowing something to keep you from becoming a Christian, the devil's always going to make sure something is there. Don't wait for a more convenient time. Don't put it off. Today is the day of your salvation. Come as we stand and sing this song.